What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the AwesomeO.com NBA Strategy Show presented by No House Advantage. I am Dave Lochran on Twitter at Laffy_D, joined by, this is a new one, only the second time this season, Alex Baker at AwesomeODFS on the Twitters. What's going on, man? Happy Sunday.
Yeah, I'm excited to be filling in for Josh here. It's funny because he saw this three-game slate on the schedule. He's like, this isn't even worth my breath.
Which is hilarious because you would think this is the type of slate he wouldn't want to take off for and then take off for a slate that has like 10 or 11 games, you know, because we're not going to be here that long.
I know. it's an interesting decision by Josh, but I think the slate – even though it's a three-game slate, there should be a good amount to talk about because we had all these trades, and particularly the Orlando Magic changed their whole roster. So this one could get pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what do we make of that early on? You had the trade deadline on Thursday, and then Friday, basically nobody was available anyway. Yesterday, I know, while I didn't play, there were a ridiculous, ridiculous amount of injuries. So just taking this Orlando team into the picture right now, going out there against the LA Lakers, who are also banged up, like, how do we even approach an Orlando team like this with very little information on what they look like?
I know. Yeah, it's going to be tricky. Like, fortunately, the sites did change the prices up a lot. So it's not like if Ken Birch starts, you know, he's going to be a lock. So It'll be tricky, although we do have Wendell Carter and Aaron Gordon not confirmed to play today. So if they didn't, that would be a game changer. But at the moment, it seems like they should be slated to play. So it will be an interesting game. But the Magic, it's like the guys they traded for are probably the best on the team right now. So at least we can count on them.
So when you're putting your ownership together for a team like this, though, are you just pulling your hair out?
I mean, like, when we put it into the ownership algorithm, it's like, does not compute.
I know, it feels that way. You ready to dive into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. You got Portland first going up against the Toronto Raptors on the road. Raptors at home, they're a 1-point favorite, 229 total. They've just really struggled, and then after all of those struggles, after I ream them out on like eight different shows, they go and they blow the doors off, of course, the team that I bet on. So let's start with Portland. Damian Lillard, questionable. What are you doing with the Blazers today?
So, with Damian Lillard, questionable, that is going to be a huge difference whether he plays or not. Last game, we were hoping that with Lillard out, CJ McCollum would be the point guard that he is and really shine with Lillard out, but that wasn't really the case. He kind of made salary and not much more, so wasn't the most exciting outcome there. They had Norman Powell was just traded to the Blazers, so everyone was excited to see his debut. And he didn't disappoint. He played 35 minutes, so it's pretty clear that they went and got Powell because they really like that guy. So I expect him to be one of the main contributors for the Blazers going forward.
Yeah, he endeared himself to the fans real quick in that game.
Yeah, you'll have to see it. So it does – We are kind of used to Powell playing with no Van Vliet, Pascal Siakam, etc., because they're out so long. Now that he's stepping into a team with Lillard, McCollum, and now Yusuf Nurkic is back, so it's going to be a lot harder for him to find shots than it had been over that stretch where the Raptors had all those COVID issues.
Yeah, I think so. The big thing is if Damian Lillard plays. Let's break it down both ways, right? He's got this ailing knee, a bruised knee. So it's nothing necessarily serious right now. If he does end up playing, how much do you like Dame on his three-game slate? You only have three games to touch on here. We don't have a ton of top-tier players because LeBron James and Anthony Davis are both out. So you've got Nikola Jokic at the top of the pool. And then you have Damian Lillard, who's also questionable. followed by Trae Young, who even on DraftKings now has fallen below $9,000. So really, when you're talking about the two elite options on this slate, you have Dame and you have Jokic. And I think with CJ McCollum back, Nikola Jokic is still the, you know, the clear bona fide number one in terms of just overall reliability on a slate like this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that Dame isn't quite as reliable as Jokic. What I'm seeing here, I mean, Dame gets a lot of his production through assists, through taking shots, but CJ McCollum's numbers this year have been up a lot from last year. So while CJ McCollum missed all those games, Dame's production went up as we expected. Now that McCollum is back, I expect that to take away from Dame's production a good amount. So I see him as being a little bit overpriced on DraftKings at 9,800. 9,100 on FanDuel is closer to where he should be, but I'm not sure he's like a top tier guy with McCollum in the lineup. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. That's the big question here. I think he can be. That's the thing, is the whole reliability factor. Can Damian Lillard give you 80 fantasy points on any given night? Yeah, he absolutely can. There's no doubt about that. He can. And we saw him do it last year with CJ McCollum in the rotation, right? He's done it plenty of times. But are you expecting anything close to Nikola Jokic type numbers on a nightly basis? To me, the answer is just a resounding no. So with him being only $600 less than Jokic on DraftKings and on FanDuel, where's their salaries coming in? On FanDuel, Nikola Jokic is 11.3. Wow, Lillard's 9.1. So there's a huge gap there. Is that pricing gap enough for you to either play both of them, or is it enough for you to prefer Dame over Jokic?
Yeah, I think on FanDuel, it's a lot closer, where Jokic is priced up a ton on FanDuel at 11.3K. So he's a little bit less appealing over there than DraftKings. So I do think you could pick whichever one kind of fits your salary constraints there. That discrepancy in price seems a little bit more appropriate given the situation where Lillard is playing with CJ McCollum now, and he just doesn't rebound the same way Jokic does, which is the big difference between the two.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of things the way Jokic does.
True.
Outside of Dame, okay, so how about this? If Dame is out, and we don't have to spend this much time on every single team, but a few of them do have a lot of implications here, especially for such a short slate. When it comes to the Portland Trail Blazers without Damian Lillard, I know CJ McCollum didn't have that monster game last time out, but is this someone that you're locking in if Dame sits?
Yes, I think I probably would lock in CJ, and especially because, you know, the game last game wasn't too exciting. Like, maybe that will make people not as excited to go to CJ McCollum, but he's 8K. He's going to be the guy that gets all these assists that Lillard isn't getting if Lillard doesn't play. And he shoots a ton. So really, he's kind of like Dame light when Dame's out. So I think that he looks like a great play at the price.
And the last thing here, I guess the problem too, is if Damian Lillard does play, what happens to everyone else on this team at their current price points? Because they are not priced. They're priced almost like Damian Lillard's supposed to be out.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a little bit harder to get to the Blazers if Dame is in. McCollum looks decent at 8K. I think his production this year has been pretty solid. 29% usage on the year, 24% assist percentage. And then the other guy I might look at, this one, it might be pending on news, is Nurkic, because he's coming off of this long absence. Last game, they kind of announced he was going to play, you know, like 18 to 20 minutes, and he did. So if the limit this game is more like 24, then I think he could be a pretty decent value. But we're really just speculating on the minutes here. So, I mean, what's your take on Nurkic?
Yeah, Nurkic on a per-minute basis is an absolute stud and always has been. So he's played, what, one game since returning. He played 19 minutes in a game that they won by 7 points. Let me just pull the rotation up real quick here. Because his price is 5,500, he's not exactly overpriced. but and he can give you monster. Okay, so you're saying if we get 24 minutes, do you think that's the max we could get out of him today?
It's hard to tell because he had like a wrist injury, I believe, but then he also had a calf strain at the end of his recovery from that. So it's like, how much was this a lower body thing and how much was it upper body? It's hard to, yeah, hard to really know.
And he had four fouls in the first half. So he had two fouls in the first 5.5 minutes of the game. And then he had two more fouls when he came back in the second half and the second quarter for 3.5 minutes. So could that have affected his playing time? Yeah, I think it's possible. Now, his rotation in the second quarter, or the second half, sorry, to start the second half, was only 4 minutes and 40 seconds long. And then in the fourth quarter, only 4 minutes and 18 seconds long. Your closing lineup was Norman Powell, Derek Jones, or no, C.J. McCollum, Robert Covington, Enes Kanter, and Carmelo Anthony. So it's hard to say, because Enes Kanter has been decent in terms of filling in and replacing him. I know he's not a good defender, but they've won a lot of games without Jusuf Nurkić, and they played well enough. So maybe Terry Stotts doesn't have the urge or the need to rush him back immediately into a 30-minute role, and I think that could be the case. So I would say 24 minutes is a pretty reasonable projection for him today.
So I agree. Yeah, you make a good point about how Kanter has been admirable in Nurkic's absence. So it's not really clear if the coach is going to go back to Nurkic as like the top guy. He doesn't even, his season average this year has been 23 minutes per game as well, which I vaguely recall at the start of the year, Nurkic was just fouling a ton and not playing quite as many minutes as we hope. But price tag is a little bit appealing on a slate where we don't have a lot of cheap guys to choose from.
Okay. On the Toronto side of this one, by the way, guys, hit that thumbs up if you haven't done so yet and subscribe to the channel. It is gratefully helpful to us. We appreciate all of that support. But, you know, when you look at this channel, when you look at where we've come in such a short time, it's all thanks to you. Blasting up over 50,000 followers, only been around for a little while now on YouTube, really in general. And hopefully we've built a pretty awesome community here that you guys have been willing and wanting to join. And that's why you see the badges on the YouTube chat with members who are part of the community that join us every day. We're happy to have all of you guys join us and make yourselves a part of this community. But most of the people that watch the show actually aren't subscribed to it, that watch our channel aren't subscribed. So hit that subscribe and hit the notification bell if you always want to know when new shows are dropping next. But yeah, hit that thumbs up, subscribe, and we'll keep moving forward here. So the Toronto Raptors, I was saying, Alex, how they've just destroyed me recently, betting on them against bad teams, and then I bet against them, and they beat the Denver Nuggets 135 to 111. So it's just, I mean, I can't get this team right, even remotely right now. They get rid of Norman Powell. They decide to stand pat on Kyle Lowry and not move him at the trade deadline. Crushed a lot of people on Top Shot too. They're like, all right, let me get pre-trade deadline Kyle Lowry moments for when he's traded to a contender, and then he doesn't go anywhere. And then Van Vliet's still there, obviously, Pascal Siakam. So most of the band is still together outside of Norman Powell when it comes to significant pieces of this team.
Yeah, Top Shot's been wild, man. I saw that, like, the hype, like, makes the prices go up more. Right. And then the event that people are expecting to raise the values, like, the price has already gone up so much that no one wants to buy it at that point.
Totally, yeah. In crypto, in the stock market, anything, it's called buy the hype, sell the news, or buy the rumor, sell the news, where everyone gobbles up the hype and jacks up the price of something, or an asset or whatever, In Top Shot case, it's no different. I actually tweeted about that the other day. I was like, this is what's going to happen if it's anything like a normal market. And then right as the badges dropped, you know, you got so many people out there super stoked that they got their badges, that they're going to just skyrocket. And they plummet for a time being. I think they'll see a steady climb back upwards, but that was pretty predictable. It's, you know, you get hyped up for something and then you dump it on people that are buying it right when it drops. And yeah. Pretty crazy, man. It's a wild market out there. It's a wild west.
I was browsing the listings of one moment. I think it was like Denny Avdia or something, and like one guy was selling 40 of them for the minimum price.
Yeah, that's
Anyway,
brutal.
back to this Raptors
Toronto
game.
Raptors, yeah.
So yeah, the Raptors had a huge performance last time. Pascal Siakam really crushed it, which was interesting because there were some reports about how he was kind of being a dick and the coaching staff was pissed with him. I can't remember the specifics,
Yeah,
but
him and Nick Nurse got into a heated argument, and he got fined like $50,000 for it.
yeah. So he didn't waste any time getting some positive attention by playing well on the court. The trade of Trent and Rodney Hood for Powell, it's cool that we get to see the Raptors and Blazers face off here immediately after that. So Gary Trent played a lot of minutes in his debut for the Raptors. I think it's pretty clear at this point they don't really want to play Aron Baynes very much, although if they were going to pick any day, it'd be today versus Cantor probably. But I think we got to expect Trent to stay in the starting lineup so we kind of know what we're getting there. And I think Lowry, VanVleet, Ananobi, and Siakam all look like solid options against a team that is about average defensively, I'd say.
Yeah, and Portland recently has been terrible defensively. I don't know what it, on the season exactly how bad they've been, but over the last month, this has been a pretty horrid Portland Trailblazers defense. And you know, of course, you're getting some bodies back. I don't know if Norman Powell's going to make a big difference, but we'll see. It is funny that he'll be facing his former team just 2 games in. So we'll see how that goes. Would you say any Toronto players right now are priorities? And by the way, based on ownership that we have. You put out ownership every single day. The best stuff you're going to find out there at awesomeode.com/join ownership, built by Alex Baker himself, number one ranked DFS player, projections, boom or bust tool, top stack tool, the lineup builder, all of that stuff at awesomeode.com/join. If you want to do a weekly pass, you want to do a monthly, you want to do annual, no matter what your style of play, no matter how seriously you take DFS, and no matter what your budget is, we've got you on a weekly express for less than $4 a week. You want to go all access annual? You want to do one sport for a week or a month? We got you. Or you can do every sport for the entire month, the entire year. If they have contests over at DraftKings, FanDuel, wherever you are, we have content for it. And I believe it is the best stuff out there because, well, he has proof, made a ton of money using these tools. Go to awesomeway.com/join and check out everything we have to offer. And be sure to go to the premium Slack chat when you do. And jump in our office hours where you've got pros taking your questions all the time throughout the day and really helping you fine-tune your DFS game. So the ownership right now, Alex, on the Toronto Raptors, of course, it's a 3-game slate, so it's going to be a lot anyway. But yeah, Gary Trent on DraftKings getting over 40%, Siakam getting almost 40%, Lowry and Ananobi also up north of 33%, Fred VanVleet at 27%. So I guess the point I'm making here is, compared to a Portland team that's getting no ownership, despite it being a 3-game slate, Toronto is massively owned right now across almost every single position.
It makes sense because the thing I've been kind of noticing about today's slate is there aren't any like 3K guys like there were last night where, like the Bucks ruled everyone out and now you have Jordan Nwora playing 35 minutes or whatever. Like tonight's the opposite where there really aren't any cheap guys. And that's why everyone's going to the Raptors as it stands because all of their starters are between 6 and 8K. And that's kind of like all we have the budget to get because if you start putting in more than one stud, then the rest of your lineup's going to look really trash. So I think right now, this kind of mid to high range that the Raptors are in really clicks in today's lineups.
Okay. So let's go to Atlanta and Denver, then move this one forward. You've got the Atlanta Hawks on the road, 4.5 point dogs, sorry, 224 total against the Nuggets. You got the Atlanta Hawks with Trae Young dipping below, is it pretty amazing, dipping below 9K on DraftKings. He's 8,700 on FanDuel, but he's actually been below there for a little while now. I want to start with him, Alex, because while Trae Young definitely has some big games and his just overall averages on the season aren't bad at all, we're not seeing that same ceiling that we saw last year where he could go out there and rip off, 65, 70 fantasy points. As a matter of fact, if you get 55 from Trae Young at this point, you feel like you did well.
Yeah, Trae Young has always been a little bit below the top guys in fantasy because he doesn't rebound. And if you take a 9, 10K guy, usually those guys are getting anywhere from 5 to 10 rebounds a game. Trae Young doesn't really have that fantasy production. So I've always thought he should be around 9K. And now that he is, I think he's a pretty good option. The matchup versus Denver isn't that great, but what we've seen is the Hawks traded Rajon Rondo for Lou Will. Lou Will is out for today. So over the last two games where Rajon Rondo has been out, Trae Young has been playing way higher minutes than he had been before. So he played about 38 minutes in both games, 39 minutes in the last one. I was looking at something wrong here. So he played like 36 last game and 38 the previous one. And that's a lot more minutes than his usual. So it's like he's getting more minutes and the salary is dropping. So I think that he makes a lot of sense, even though the matchup might be a negative.
Okay. Capella, John Collins, Danilo Gallinari. Like you said, Lou Williams is back in his hometown. Got to be excited about that. Not playing Sunday, though. Not necessarily sure what his playing time would have looked like. They do actually have some bodies. I think he'll play in maybe 20 minutes per game or so. But overall, they have enough reserves on this team to where I don't think he just jumps into this massive role off the bench. What are your thoughts on the front court here with Clint Capella and John Collins? It's not a great matchup against Denver. The total is, what did I say the total was? 224, so it's not extraordinarily high, but there aren't a ton of high totals on the three-game slate anyway.
Yeah, I think the front court is a little bit hard to get right now because you have three guys that are all vying for those big minutes. You have John Collins, who I kind of think everyone was thinking he'd get traded over the deadline because it's last year's contract. But the Hawks decided to keep him because they want to make a playoff push. So that was pretty interesting stuff. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, they have him and Capella and Gallo, and all three of them can't be on the court at the same time. So what we're seeing is that each of them is playing relatively limited minutes compared to what we'd hope for. I think the toughest to get to tonight is probably John Collins because with Capella on the floor, he isn't quite as good a rebounder, and he's not like the highest usage guy either. So this price tag of 7,300 looks a little bit high.
Okay. Do you like anyone else from Atlanta?
I like some of their wings. They got a lot of wing depth right now, but they've been starting Tony Snell. Obviously, he doesn't really produce when he's on the court. But they have DeAndre Hunter working his way back from injury. He sat out the last one on the second half of a back-to-back, so that wasn't really a negative sign. It is possible we get the news that he's starting. Earlier in the season, he was averaging above 30 minutes, so that could be pretty interesting at 5K. I think he's a little bit underrated right now. And then Bogdanovic is he's only 4,900. If he gets the minutes, he should be solid. The only thing is last game, he only played like 20 minutes. So I don't know what we're going to get out of him for minutes today.
And Kevin Huerter's ownership right now is pretty high. I don't know how long if that's going to last throughout the day, if we see some type of change as we get closer to lock. But he's getting around 25% on DraftKings right now. And I'm not necessarily sure how confident we should be in Kevin Huerter, but is this just a product of there being no other good value options on this slate?
I think that's got to be it because, like, I can't really see any reason why we'd want to play him here. Right. He came off the bench last game, which was a little disappointing because he had been starting. Bogdanovic started that one. So if he's coming off the bench, that will hurt his minutes a little bit. He's only averaged, I guess he's averaged 31 minutes on the year. So if we put him in at like 28, then that is a little bit of a hit. And I mean, the matchup is a little bit of a negative. So I'm not super keen on Herter. Do you have any optimism for this one?
No, not at all. No. If Herter's going to be 25% owned, even on this slate, I don't see any way that what we can be confident about getting there. Look, he doesn't, you're talking about Trae Young not rebounding. Kevin Herter doesn't provide peripherals. Very seldom are you going to get decent assist numbers from him unless he kind of falls into that. No, you're hoping that he can knock down like six threes. And even in that case, he's going to have a tough time getting you up in the words of 30 fantasy points. So, I mean, even getting there, it's going to be so tough for him to do so. A chalky or a popular Kevin Herter, in the event that that's the case and people resort to him because there's no value, is not something that I'm interested in getting to at all.
Agreed. Yeah, that we'll have to see how his ownership trends throughout the day, because if it is high, that seems like an obvious pivot point.
For sure. Now let's go to Denver. We've got the Nuggets, like I said, 4.5 point favorites here. Nikola Jokic, just a clear top option from a raw fantasy point perspective on this slate. He is leading the race for MVP right now for all of the obvious reasons. Of course, Joel Embiid and LeBron James had to go down in order for that to happen, but hey, we're where we are. And he's just been an absolute monster all season long. You're locking in the idea that you can get 70 plus from him every single night. And on a three game slate, you know damn well that most people are going to have that very similar mindset. But on DraftKings right now, and this is where I need to get your opinion because I was pretty surprised by this, Nikola Jokic and on FanDuel is pulling much, much lower projected ownership than I thought at 23 or 22 and 23% respectively.
Yeah, I think it's mostly a product of the slate, where his price tag of 10.4K on DraftKings and 11.3K on FanDuel is pretty fair. But it's just like the guys you got to put in to spend up instead of going to some of the lower price guys are pretty tough to stomach. So I think if we see some value open up today, Jokic should be one of the better plays. If there's not a lot of value, he might be on the chopping block, even though he has all that upside that you mentioned.
Oh man, that is going to be very difficult
Yeah,
to make an argument from getting away from Nikola Jokic on this slate. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has almost 30% usage rate, 40% assist rate, 18% rebound rate, and on such a small slate, Nikola Jokic can blow the entire thing up with one of his, patented strong games, and now he's going up against the Atlanta Hawks. Man, that's going to be so tough to get away from. What would be the alternatives to not going Nikola Jokic then? Like, it,
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
yeah, the tough thing about Jokic is like just who's going to be in this lineup with him, to be honest. So I'm scrolling through the salaries here. As far as value, we have KCP at 3.9K, Simons at 4K. That's pretty much it. Like, there aren't any guys below that are playable in fantasy today. So it's gonna be really tough to find anything that is gonna let you get to like more than one high price guy. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out. But generally, when the slates like this, the Jokic lineups look a lot different than the lineups without him. So it's kind of like you're splitting the player pool into two different like lineup constructions. So how Jokic performs will determine which one of those is successful, but it's going to be hard to predict that.
Okay. Ryan says 5% of lineups are made, so why do we care about current ownership? It's not based off, like, we're not gathering information on people's ownership from DraftKings and FanDuel. We don't have the tools to go in and see all of their lineups. If that
what
was
do you the mean, case, man, we like sit there and watch people build their lineups. Yeah.
that was the case, we wouldn't be doing this show.
That's true.
Do you have any other interest in Denver then? Because I'm looking just at Denver's ownership. You have a little bit, Michael Porter, Jamal Murray getting a little bit. But again, there are a couple teams where ownership is just like super concentrated right now on this slate.
I think, one guy that's of interest is Aaron Gordon. He's likely to play for the Nuggets tonight after being traded. So the thing I'm seeing with Gordon, he was kind of playing this backup point guard role in Orlando. Now that he's in Denver with Jokic, it seems like his assist rate is going to drop a lot. So I do think he's going to be a little bit overpriced until it cracks for that. But he should get the minutes. The matchup is nice. The other guy that got traded to the Nuggets is JaVale McGee. He should back up Jokic. So we're looking at even less minutes than he was getting in Cleveland. But he is a guy that really produces when he's out on the court. So not like completely off the board, but that limited minutes should make him a little tough to get to.
Okay. Anything else for this game on either side, Denver, Atlanta?
I think Millsap had been getting a ton of minutes. I'm worried that Aaron Gordon is going to cut into that, and Millsap's not going to be a fantasy play until we see what's happening there. And then the other guys you could look at are Murray, Porter, and Barton. The prices here are really high for whatever reason, so it is a little tough to get to them, but decent options.
By the way, today's show presented by No House Advantage. You guys know the reasons to play there. And if you don't know the reasons to play there, maybe you're new to the channel, I'm going to tell you exactly why you want to get over there and start winning money today. First of all, if you use the promo code AWESOMO, you receive a $20 first match deposit bonus just by using AWESOMO when you sign up, depositing $20. Boom, you get another $20 right there. Promo code AWESOMO, AWESEMO. But the bigger thing, the more sustainable reason, you know, the more practical reason that you would want to play at No House Advantage when you download the app is because Alex Baker right here has created the tools, and they are free at awesomeo.com to win consistently at No House Advantage. It's a peer-to-peer player prop contest. That's what it is. It's like a GPP style player prop peer-to-peer format. So you're selecting player props, putting them into your own contest, whereas instead of putting players in there, you're putting the props in there from your highest confidence interval, your highest level of confidence to your lowest. And then if you go over to awesomeo.com, we have the player prop projections, which are totally free. We have the optimal lineup page for No House Advantage, which is entirely free. Both of them free at Awesomeo. And a lot of people that are playing at No House Advantage probably don't even know about that. So it immediately gives you a leg up. Plus, all of the props are static. Unlike other books, they don't change throughout the day. So if you see a prop that looks real juicy because it came out in the morning or the night before and looks like people have moved it on other sites, it's not going to move at No House Advantage. So the sharper you are, the better opportunity, the better chance you're going to have to win money over at No House Advantage. Use that intuition and that insight with our tools, with the promo AWESOMO, AWESEMO, when you sign up to get $20 and download the app today. No House Advantage, sponsor of the Strategy Show. All right, here we go. It's time for Orlando. This is going to be fun. So I'll turn it over to you with first, I will say, when you sort by ownership, just on ownership with Orlando. And by the way, Ryan was right to some extent. Ownership this early in the morning, it's just a reference point. A lot of things can change. There's no doubt about that. But right now, Wendell Carter Jr. is looking like he will be getting some ownership. And then you have guys like Otto Porter Jr., MCW. The crazy thing, though, is you look at this team, Alex, and we've seen some wild trade deadline moves. This is one of the few teams I've seen in the last while that has completely blown it up at the deadline. I mean, just taking every opportunity to blow this team up, and that's what they've done.
Yeah, it's crazy because I saw some quotes about how they're like, we got all these great young players like Markelle Fultz, like Jonathan Isaac and Cole Anthony. It's like these guys haven't played in months. So
It's crazy.
it's like we'll build around those guys. So they went out and got this ridiculous contract of Otto Porter Jr. because they're like, we're not going to win in the next few years anyway. We might as well like get the picks. But it's like Otto Porter hadn't been playing a lot on the Bulls. I'm kind of wondering if he'll get another shot here to maybe produce when their team is really low on NBA talent right now. And then Wendell Carter Jr., I think, is just like a snap play tonight because, I mean, the only other center they have in Orlando, I know Ken Birch plays center a little bit. He started at center last game, but I feel like he's more of a power forward usually. And then the other guy they got is Mo Bamba. I feel like they've given up on Bamba at this point after drafting him number 6 2 years ago. He's just been injured a ton. Hasn't really been able to get up to that NBA caliber. So I think Wendell Carter Jr. might be their center of the future. And he's gone from a team that had a lot of alpha players to one where he's not really competing with anyone. So I think he should be able to get a lot of fantasy production, and he's cheap tonight.
I personally was very high on Wendell Carter Jr. Coming into the league with the Chicago Bulls, and it just never really materialized. So maybe there's something Steve Clifford can do to make him better. I guess ultimately the question is though, does it really matter how good he is when his price point is where it is? But how many minutes are you going to give him today? Because we already know that under Billy Donovan, he was falling out of favor, and I think early in the year, all of us would have been like, okay. He has a young core here. Kobe White, Wendell Carter Jr., Zach LaVine's young enough. Like these guys are going to be the future, Lauri Markkanen, and we're going to have a team work with this team for the future and it's in a season that we don't expect to win a ton of games anyway. That simply wasn't the case though. And now you're looking at Wendell Carter Jr., who is gone and now playing under Clifford. Do his minutes increase substantially now that he's out of Chicago?
I think so, yeah. We hadn't seen in previous years Wendell Carter was getting the minutes. He averaged 29 last year. He does foul a lot, so that has always been a limiting factor for him. But I think it would be reasonable to kind of project that he's in that 28 to 30 minute range on an average night. The matchup versus the Lakers without LeBron or Anthony Davis shouldn't be the scariest for picking up fouls. So I think he can get the minutes here. What are you thinking?
I think he can too. And by the way, David Porter, I need some kind of credit or money back on the 2 months I was trying. Contact us at support@awesomeo.com or on Twitter. If you're saying that nobody got back to you, I don't know what your situation is, but I'm just reading this now. Contact us on Twitter or support@awesomeo.com. I know someone 100% will get back to you because we don't leave people hanging here. I think Wendell Carter Jr. could get the minutes too. Ultimately, who would be, okay, so let's just do this real quickly. Who would be the competition for minutes? Okiki, Ken Birch, and Mo Bamba? I suppose it's possible that these guys are going to get worked in a little bit, but how many minutes are you giving those guys today?
Yeah, I'm not sure Mo Bamba will be in the rotation going forward because it's just like he wasn't really playing before. And they actually are kind of stacked at the power forward position now. So I feel like they might slide Ken Birch up to center as the backup to Wendell Carter. And then the reason I'm thinking that is they have James Ennis, who often starts as small forward, power forward, Otto Porter Jr. also. And then Chuma Okeke also is kind of in that small forward spot. So I'm kind of wondering if Bamba gets squeezed out of the rotation just because they have enough guys now that they might just give up on him. But I think this game will be very telling.
Okay. So, top options from Orlando at this point on a three-game slate, only six teams. Who would they be?
Top on FanDuel, you said?
On Orlando.
Orlando, site. Sorry. So I think Michael Carter-Williams, he should get a ton of minutes. And I mentioned that because on FanDuel, he's still really cheap at 5,300. I would go to him on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I think Otto Porter Jr. is intriguing. If he gets a start, I don't really know if he will or not. So that's going to be a tough one to plan for. But Wendell Carter Jr., I think, is a top option on both sides.
All right. Let's close it out with the Lakers. Almost took down the Sixers the other day after being down by like 20 points. That scared the hell out of me because all they do is find ways to blow leads. I got to give them credit, though. But I'm a pessimist, eternal pessimist, Alex. So when the Sixers are up by 20 points, I'm just waiting for them to throw the game away. And it happens almost every game, except they find ways in the end to pull it out. But all in all, that is unimportant. You're talking about a Lakers squad that's down their two top players. No LeBron, no Anthony Davis. I mean, it's just huge when you think about the impact that it has on this team. They might hang around. They might have some good. They might have some games where Kyle Kuzma shoots well, or Dennis Schroeder shows up, you know, or you get some like surprise performance from Horton Tucker or whoever it is off the bench. But really, this is not going to be a good basketball team right now. Defensively, I think they can still play well. Offensively, you are talking about a team that is really going to struggle to score points. And we've essentially seen that in almost all of these games since LeBron has joined Anthony Davis on the sideline. So that leads me to my first question for you. What are we doing with the LA Lakers, starting with the higher priced guys like Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Kuzma, and Dennis Schroeder tonight?
Yeah, man. And Andre Drummond can't sign with the Lakers soon enough because they're kind of low on bodies right now. So I think Kuzma's been playing huge minutes. Schroeder and Harrell all have seen a bump in production with these guys out. So I think they're all pretty good plays. Schroeder, he has the ball in his hands a lot more with LeBron out. So his assist percentage on the year has been 22%, but over the last five games, it's been 32%. So it's gone up 10%. That's pretty sizable. And then Kuzma, obviously he's taking, you'd think he'd be taking a lot more shots, but it seems like he's been dishing the ball a lot more instead. So his usage has stayed pretty similar, but the assists have gone up. Now that I expect to even out a little bit, so both values are a little bit higher. But Kuzma's price at 7,200 is kind of made up for that. So I don't think we would expect Kuzma to have gotten that high, but he is. So my favorite of the bunch is Harrell, I guess, because with Marc Gasol starting, they've kind of expressed how Marc Gasol hasn't really lived up to expectations this year. So just by process of elimination, we can expect Harrell to see sizable minutes like he has been over the past few weeks. So at 7,400, he seems like the guy that's going to have to shoot a lot, get a lot of boards. So I think that he's solid.
Yeah, I think so too. And you're just like, when I look at this team, there's nobody that, like, for example, if a Damian Lillard goes down, you know that CJ McCollum is going to be that guy, right? Or at least he should be that guy. His usage goes through the roof. It's hard to look at anyone specifically on this team and say, you know what? They are guaranteed to be this guy that is going to shoulder the bulk of the load while Anthony Davis and LeBron James are sidelined. You just don't see it. I mean, can Montrezl Harrell do it? Sure. And he actually has very solid per-minute production and usage without those guys this season. Matter of fact, Montrezl Harrell usage is 28% without Davis and LeBron in 400 minutes this year. Those are good numbers. His per-minute production is at 1.25. But when you look at usage elsewhere, it's like Schroeder is at 27% solid, Horton Tucker at 25, Kuzma at 22. All of those guys played 350 or more minutes in those scenarios. So there isn't a clear-cut, right, bona fide stud that can take over when both of these guys are out, which means that we're going to have to do a little bit of guessing because Schroeder, 1.1 DraftKings points per minute in this scenario. Horton Tucker, 1.07. Kyle Kuzma's down at 0.95. Montrezl Harrell does seem like the clear winner here, but I don't know if anyone separates themselves enough to say, like, this is, you know, the best play on the slate because LeBron and Davis are out. Does that make sense?
It does, except they have Alex Caruso. No, I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I agree. I think like all these guys should see more shots, but the biggest thing for the team has been they're just not performing as well as the team. So they're getting bigger pieces of the pie, but the pie is not as big.
How would you rank them today from a DFS standpoint?
I think Harrell's a really solid play. Schroeder and Kuzma, I think they're definitely guys you can look to. Although, if it was between them and another guy around the same price, it seems like the 7 to 8K range is pretty stacked. So, I don't have a real strong preference between, say, like Schroeder and Kuzma, and then the Toronto guys with like Siakam, Lowry, and Van Vliet. I think you can just play, any mix of those guys and be pretty solid. So they're definitely guys I'm gonna be having today, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to get them.
Hit that thumbs up, guys. I know it's a Sunday. Everyone's tired. 450 people watching. But hit that thumbs up. At least get us over 100 for the morning. Make us feel worthwhile on this weekend before we go back on Monday. And remember to always stick around to always stick around after the show, because like not immediately after the show, because we obviously have a bunch of content coming up. What do we have today? On the show, we have the NBA, or sorry, the college basketball live before lock. That is going to be fun. 1 p.m. Eastern with Ben Rossa and Matt Gajewski. Then you got the NASCAR live before lock with Jason, Chris, and Phil. Oh, okay, we got a three-man booth there. NBA deeper dive with myself and Terry McBride. And then Emac and Eric Lindquist got you covered on the NBA live before lock show. So all throughout the day, even though it's a Sunday, there's no other place to be than right here on the Awesomeo YouTube channel. All right, Alex, we'll wrap it up with this. We've gone pretty long for a three-game slate, so solid work here. And thanks to our boy Jordan Klein for producing. Top options on this slate, if you were to give me building blocks, right? And by the way, Emacs building blocks article free every day. So is the deep dive, the most comprehensive article you're going to find for breakdowns DFS wise every day, totally free at Awesomeo. If you were to give me building blocks for this slate, maybe like a top price guy or even just a general way that you would look to build your lineups for today, whether you want to do DraftKings or FanDuel, how would that look early in the morning right now?
So I think one of my plays that I'm feeling more confident in than others is Wendell Carter. I feel like the opportunity Orlando is going to be really solid. So putting him in there helps kind of give you that salary relief a little bit.
Sorry, I'm very sorry, but Damian Lillard is active and Norman Powell's starting ahead of Derrick Jones. So I just wanted to get that out there before I forgot. Sorry.
Nice. Yeah, that's big news. So we don't have to worry about if Lillard's out. That's nice that we got that early. The other guys I'm looking at, any of the Toronto starters, I feel like in this matchup versus Portland, they have pretty good prices. And then some of the Lakers guys with LeBron and AD out, Harrell, Schroeder, and Kuzma, I think those are all solid options. Those would probably be my building blocks today. But I'll have to catch Emacs article because I might need some more.
Yeah, we might need some more bet, and that is the building blocks auto. He gets that out like either the night before or the early morning. I don't know. It's definitely before I'm awake. And your show, by the way, one thing that you guys, if you're premium subs, need to take advantage of, you do a show throughout the week, and sometimes our boy Steve Buzzard does it, sometimes Sean's on does it, but I know it all started with you. The Awesomeo Game Plan show at 3 p.m. Eastern time. It's the behind paywall YouTube show that you do, breaking down your process and kind of diving into different aspects of DFS and different approaches to take, different strategies, different ways you research. I would definitely recommend people check that out.
Definitely, yeah. I added a backlog of videos in the pro video section, so make sure to go there. There's a lot of good stuff, like how do you use randomness, like maybe how do you build an Excel sheet to be able to optimize your play. And then I did one where we reviewed pros. Terry's doing a bunch where he's talking about the beginner content, so that's a nice place to look if you're looking up your game.
All right. Should we take a second and just take a quick look at the showdown slate today?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Because you got a $100,000 prize pool over there, $15 entry. I think it couldn't hurt to take a quick look. It's Phoenix and Charlotte. Don't worry, Jordan. I didn't set you up for this one, but we're fine. Kind of spur of the moment. 220 total. Phoenix Suns 6-point favorites on the road. From an injury standpoint, once again, Phoenix is almost entirely healthy outside of like Abdel Nader not being active. They're totally healthy, and then for Charlotte, you're down LaMelo Ball for the season. PJ Washington is probable, so that's good news. Malik Monk, who has had some good opportunity once LaMelo Ball went down, he is dealing with foot soreness, but also probable. So, yeah, outside of LaMelo Ball, I mean, both teams are pretty healthy, it appears.
Yeah, the one piece of news I'll be looking for in the showdown slate is the starting lineup for Charlotte. Bismack Biyombo has been getting the start recently and been playing about 24 minutes, but I feel like I honestly can't understand why they're starting him. I feel like Cody Zeller has been the guy they prioritize more this season. So if they change up the starting lineup and either Zeller gets in there, or maybe they go a little bit smaller and put Bridges back in the starting lineup, that will open up some value for the showdown slate.
Okay, so just pulling this up now. Do we have ownership for the showdown site?
Yeah.
We do. Okay, so that is awesome. That's what I'm talking about. See, you got ownership for a single game showdown slate already up in the morning. Got you covered from all angles. So DeAndre Ayton, I'm just using DraftKings ownership here. DeAndre Ayton, 80% projected ownership right now, 23% in the captain spot. Chris Paul is up there, Devin Booker. So one, two, three, all of these guys from the same team are getting massive ownership, followed by Gordon Hayward. Are there any builds that you really like here? Is there a spot where you'd say, maybe I like this guy as a captain, even though he's not nearly as chalky as the other guys? What are you looking at here?
So I did a deep dive on Showdown in one of the game plan videos this
There
week,
you
and
go.
I came up with a really good finding that basically, like, who you pick at captain, like, you might think you're getting sneaky if you pick like a captain that's not very low owned, but I found that like there's not much correlation between the captain ownership and the number of people who have that lineup. So my conclusion is like you want to go to the chalk captains because there's just more ways to build the lineup and get different in the utility spots. So today I'll probably be looking at Aiden, Paul, Booker, and Hayward, and then trying to mix it up in the flex.
Okay, so yeah, I'm just looking at this now. Oh, Chris Paul gives you, if you throw Chris Paul in the captain spot, you still have 7,000 remaining per player. Are there any good value options here? I'm pulling up ownership, looking at all of this, seeing if there's anybody cheap that makes some sense. And I mean, you're getting Biyombo, who you pointed out. That was a solid point right there. Cameron Payne, $3,200. It feels like there are at least a couple of options that people are going to look to at a discount and just kind of hope that they can give them, I don't know, 20 DraftKings points and be happy with it on a showdown slate where you only have one game to choose from.
Yeah, definitely. I think Payne's interesting. He's been playing a little bit alongside Chris Paul, so the upside's there if he is having a good game.
All right. Any other thoughts on the showdown slate?
No, it should be a good one.
All right. That'll do it for us. Guys, thanks as always for hanging out. Hit that thumbs up, subscribe to the channel, and remember to check out all of our other content around. And Alex Baker at AwesomeODFS. Follow him and myself at Laughy underscore D, LOUGHY underscore D. We will be back with you soon. Right here is College Basketball Live Before Lock Show coming up this afternoon. Stick around. Matt Gajewski, Ben Rasa. We'll see you back here soon on The Strategy Show presented by No House Advantage.